The rest of the world, the private sector, is cutting jobs, cutting pay, furloughing people. We see it in state and local governments.
Cutting pensions. Good point.
Yeah. Some of the houses, the stockbroker houses that offer 401k plans, have cut back on their contributions or eliminated them. So these are tough times, and it would be politically popular to say, look, these federal workers are doing very well. They get raises all the time. They get within grade raises. A third of them get a 3% raise on top of anything else each year. So it's one you couldn't totally discount, but it was one of those, Washington is a city where the sky is always falling in, and we live by the crisis du jour, and there are all these rumors come along and about federal workers. So certainly worth watching, and this is not to minimize the role that the lobbyists had on the Hill, the pro-Fed lobbyists had on the Hill, but it just didn't seem like it had much of a chance to begin with.
USA Today did a story, the Wall Street Journal, about feds being paid better than their private sector.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's exactly true, I don't know. I mean, who knows?
One of these things is you're looking at apples and oranges,
right.
and it's very hard to compare. It's extremely hard to compare. Washington Times did it. As you said, USA Today did it. USA Today did it. Wall Street Journal and others have picked up on that theme. I think the Associated Press had something. And again, the government does not operate. It's not like Walmart.
Right.
The government is highly professional and technical. There are very few, and fewer all the time, administrative jobs. The days of the clerk with the green eye shade sitting over a ledger don't exist anymore.
And a lot of those jobs were the ones that were outsourced and they don't exist.
I mean, there was a time, and in fact, I had a wonderful book somebody, a friend at OPM, sent me, and it was something like how to handle female employees in the government. And it was 50 years old, and it said they cry a lot and they're moody, but here's what you do. But they were all typists. They were clerk typists, and there's no such thing anymore. Well, and there are very few secretaries. You may have personal assistants, but so much of the clerical side of government has disappeared. Nobody in government sells hamburgers.
Yeah.
So it's a different breed of cat. Now, when you get into the job comparisons, does a government engineer make more than a private sector engineer? I don't know. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. It may depend on the city. It may depend on a lot of things.
Well, and also, I mean, if you're talking about in DOD parlance, does a fighter pilot earn more than a person who flies a jet? It's very hard. How do you equate all that?
I suspect that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it. I suspect test pilots for NASA make a lot less than a test pilot for Northrop Grumman or something like that. I don't know, but I would guess it.
But as you say, we love getting all worked up over this.
Absolutely. It just gets the juices flowing, makes for full employment for us in this business. But again, it's so, I have a friend and he always says, what's your data source? What's your base compared to what?
So and you have a tough one. Great program coming up on your
really turn. Got lucky because my producer, that would be me, didn't realize today was Tuesday. Really got lucky. Colleen Kelly, president of the National Treasury Employees Union, is going to come on the first part of the hour. Yep. We start at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And she's going to be I did a column today about are unions any good or not? Why do federal workers in mass do not join unions? And I got a huge response from
emails. I was reading it this morning, and I said, his email box, I hope they raise the limit on his email box.
Yeah, it's amazing, and it was interestingly divided, too, among people who say they're too political and others who say they serve a purpose and we ought to pay.
And then at 10:30, you have
Judy Park.
Oh, yeah,
she is a longtime legislative director of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees. She herself has retired the last couple of years, but Judy did this, and she'd kill me if I tell you how long, but she was there a long time, started as a kid.
Yeah, and well, she started when she was four. So.
4 years old, child labor laws notwithstanding. And but she knows as much about how the Hill works as anybody in town. NARF has a fabulous lobbying activity, always have. And she said something years ago. I was at a seminar and she was speaking, and she said it takes, on average, 10 years to get a favorable piece of legislation for federal employees through Congress. Mm. So from the date you think of it or it's introduced until it's signed into law, it's five Congresses, 5 2-year sessions, 10 years. And I thought, that's a little bit of a stretch. And then I started doing the math, and she's absolutely right. Mm. And she's going to tell how that works, why it's that way, and the benefits that federal workers won last year, which is just probably the best year they've ever had on Capitol Hill, 2009, why some of those go back 10 years.
Yeah.
And some of those ideas have been kicking around, and the heavens aligned and the stars got together. But it should be a really interesting show, both of them. Find out, you know, a top woman lobbyist in Washington and one of the federal union presidents who happens to be a woman, and just what their thought process is. What are they doing?
Well, and we always talk about government being slow to change, mm-hmm. but part of that is it's almost designed into the system. As you say, it takes a while.
It's so interesting you'd say that, because I was talking to a woman from the Congressional Research Service. Mm-hmm. I was in the audience, and she was giving us talk about it,
yeah.
and she said something that had never occurred to me. And she said, you know, people don't understand how Congress works. They don't understand how it was set up by the founding fathers. Mm. And she said, the idea is not to pass laws. The idea is to prevent the passage of bad laws.
Yeah.
And that's why you have all these checks and balances and seemingly silly things. If it's something you want and you want it to zip through Congress, you see them as silly. If it's something that you think is dangerous or unnecessary or expensive, these are real safeguards. So, you know, we'll get into that too.